breaking my back just to know your name.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first half hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Richard Doty to talk about a recent paper that looks at the loss of the sense of smell as a possible indicator of the onset of some other neurological diseases later in the future. And then at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Coach Rob Regish to do the traditional Blueprint Power Hour, which we were unable to do yesterday because it was a holiday. I am still struggling with bronchitis or whatever it is, and so you'll have to bear with me if I have to mute my mic periodically to cough. But anyway, let's get right to the topic here. How you doing, Dr. Doty?
Just fine, thank you.
Thanks for being here today. So this is really interesting because I love these kind of things. We talked about changes in gut microbes and the onset of constipation as being an early sign of Parkinson's disease a couple years ago, and now here comes this. What questions needed to be answered? What research preceded this that required this these answers?
Well, there's been a lot of research on neurodegenerative diseases in particular, and smell loss, and this really stems back to the early 80s when we developed a smell test that allowed clinicians to accurately assess smell function. But we know that there's probably over 100, 150 papers just on Parkinson's disease alone demonstrating that smell loss can occur on the order of 5 to 10, sometimes even 20 years before the onset of the motor symptoms. We also know in Alzheimer's disease that smell loss is very common as well. So we've known really for over a quarter of a decade, or excuse me, over a quarter of a century, that smell loss is a very early sign of a number of neurodegenerative diseases.
But now, but we're talking about idiopathic sense of smell loss. We're not talking about like I have really bad bronchitis, and my sense of smell was gone completely for about 2 weeks. It's starting to come back. I was actually able to smell coffee grinds yesterday morning for the first time in a few weeks. So there's
right.
there's a reason for that. We're talking about idiopathic, like there's nothing going on, and all of a sudden you notice, you know, I can't smell flowers anymore.
Right. Well, there are many reasons for smell loss. The common cold and upper respiratory infections are among the, or perhaps the very most common. What happens is the nose gets inflamed, and then there's secretion of mucus and so on, and that can block molecules from making it to receptors. But additionally, every time we have a bad cold or get exposed to pollution or whatever, the toll is taken. The top of our nose, we start out with about 10 million receptor cells or so. And as we go throughout life, that number diminishes dramatically because there's been damage into the epithelium. And there's some reconstitution or some regeneration of the nerve cells at the top of the nose. But it's usually not complete. So by the time we get into our 50s, 60s, and 70s, quite a bit of damage has been done. But it isn't noticed perceptually until on the order of 60 or 70% of those cells are gone. Then you start to notice that things aren't quite right. So we can lose a lot of cells up there and still have a relatively normal sense of smell. But after that, then things go south. And over the age of, when we get over the age of 65, we start to see a lot of people that notice a smell loss. Between 65 and 80 years of age, half the population has demonstrable smell loss as measured quantitatively. And after the age of 80, about 3 out of 4 people. So smell loss, like with hearing and other sensory changes, is common in the elderly population or the older population. But that occurs throughout life. That is, the damage occurs throughout life and doesn't become noticeable until later in life. But with the common cold or upper respiratory infections, the initial is just the blockage of the nose. But then sometimes people lose it permanently as a result of that.
You know, it's really interesting because as I turned 59 this past June, and 60 and above are ahead of me, and I think about my own parents, the normal degradation of sense of smell may actually be a coping mechanism for us as we age, because as we age, we also develop all of these different aromas with our bodies. So, kind of a humorous angle of that. But what you're talking about here is very, very different in your research. It's not just the age-related diminishment of sensitivity of what's going on in the nose. What you're talking about actually occurs in the brain, right?
Well, it occurs in the receptor cells at the interface between the nasal cavity and the brain cavity. I might add, though, that the sense of smell is very important for appreciating the flavor of foods. Most patients that we see come to the center claiming a taste problem, when in fact the taste buds, which signify or mediate sweet, sour, bitter, and salty sensations, those are normal typically, but everything else we think of as taste, chocolate, strawberry, licorice, meat sauce, all these things that we think of as taste are really smells. So when we chew food or swallow food, the molecules go back up through the rear of the nose, the nasal pharynx, and stimulate the olfactory receptors at the top of the nose. And so people have lost smell function, typically complain that food doesn't taste right or they have no taste. This is very common in the elderly. I visited a residence home a number of years ago where they were kept firing the chef because residents were complaining that food just didn't taste right. And when I passed out smell tests to that group, about 80% of them couldn't smell very well. So that was the reason for why they viewed the food tasting poorly or bad.
So talk about the research you did. How was this study designed?
Well, in the study that we published in Lancet Neurology, basically it was a review of a lot of studies that have been done in this field. But the issue was whether or not there's a common denominator among different neurological disorders that might explain the smell loss. There are studies that suggest, for example, in Parkinson's disease, that alpha-synuclein pathology can be related, so-called Lewy bodies, for example.
Right.
But those relationships aren't very strong. The same in Alzheimer's disease. You can find correlations between beta amyloid or plaques and tangles and smell loss, but those correlations aren't very large. So what I did, I looked at a large number of neurological disorders for which we have quantitative smell tests, I think on the order of about 30. I rank ordered them and I asked the question, is there some underlying factor or pathology in the brain that might explain or might be correlated with the different degrees of smell loss that we see across these different disorders? And I came up with the conclusion that damage into certain forebrain structures, there's a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine. The cells in a structure called the nucleus basalis are involved with the cholinergic function of the brain as well as the olfactory bulb largely, and we found that there was a pretty good correlation between damage into that structure and the different degrees of smell loss among these disorders.
So is it fair to say that when people manifest certain symptoms related to the central nervous system, the brain, it's obvious that some of these changes, the buildup of plaques, metabolic debris, insulin sensitivity issues, they are manifesting in the entire brain, maybe even almost random, where somebody may develop Alzheimer's disease and not lose their sense of smell, but clearly there are other faculties that will perhaps show up even sooner than the frank symptoms of, say, Parkinson's disease or Alzheimer's disease.
Sure. Changes in heart rate variability, for example, autonomic function, gut motility, in certain sebaceous gland or skin glands, all these things are known to, in Parkinson's disease, to be affected prior to the motor dysfunction. In fact, the areas of the brain that get infected first are are areas in the brainstem and in the olfactory bulb, basically the structure that's critical for smelling. And we know that damage into those areas occurs early in the disease process. And then there's sort of a systematic change in, or a systematic flow of damage, if you will, through the entire brain. So the cognitive factors come in quite late. The motor factors come in relatively late. So there's these other changes that are occurring early in the disease process that we now know about, that this wasn't appreciated 30 years ago.
Yeah, this is interesting. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk more about the research, and I also want to get into what you hope this research does for both clinicians and lay people out there. We're talking right now with Dr. Richard Doty about your sense of smell may be a red flag. If you're losing your sense of smell, it could indicate that there is a neurological disorder in your future. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Discover the faster way of getting real results with BodybuildingSupplements.com. BodybuildingSupplements.com has powerful, proven solutions like patent technology, Cre-Alkaline Supreme, Mass Pro Synthogen, and Adaptogen N.
RVD here. I love Adaptogen N. Give it a try. You'll see.
Buy Adaptogen N at BodybuildingSupplements.com. See remarkable results in 21 days or your money back. BodybuildingSupplements.com. Since 1993, the trusted source for real results.
Use promo code SUPERHUMAN and get an extra 15% off your Adaptogen N today at BodybuildingSupplements.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
There is no other olive oil like Papa Vint's extra virgin olive. Not just because of the care and quality that goes into producing it, but also because the unique Nocciolata di Belice olive that grows in Sicily is like no other olive in the world. Its spicy yet buttery flavor improves any food it comes in contact with. Higher in antioxidants, Papa Vint's is raw, unfiltered, and cloudy, and comes from a single orchard owned and operated by the same family for over 100 years. It's the only olive oil Elisa and I will ever use. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Papa Vint's banner ad and use code SHR45 and get two bottles of Papa Vint's for $45 while supplies last.
Alaskans agree that sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing. So our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today. Hey, hey.
In today's world, what would you give to have that ultimate edge, to always function at the highest possible level? That's exactly what the Da Vinci from Ultra Human gives you. Just one tablet a day increases focus, lowers anxiety, enhances social fluency, and improves your mood and drive. It's 8 hours strong with no crash. A sharp mind is priceless. And the Da Vinci even comes with a money-back guarantee. Find out more at theultrahuman.net. Make your brain 25 again with the Da Vinci from theultrahuman.net. Use discount code SHR10 for 10% off and free shipping.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Richard Doty. We're talking about your sense of smell being an indicator of something is going awry in your brain. And this is really good because we all know that diagnostics and testing is very, very important to interceding with disease states early on. There are things you can do. We know. We had Dr. Dale Bredesen on the show from UCLA 4 years ago after his 26-patient trial reversing the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease. He's now doing over 200-patient multi-centric trial with over 200 patients. Knowing, people are afraid to know something. Oh, I don't want to know if I have cancer. What are you, crazy? If you know you've got something, you can change it. We have epigenetics at work here. We have nutrition at work here. We have so much at work here. We have so much that we can do now with disease states. So this is a really important thing. If you notice that for no reason at all, you know, you're in your 40s, you just notice that you don't smell things like you used to, then you need to think about this discussion we're having right now. So, Dr. Doty, how conclusive is this? I mean, you know, what are the odds ratio? If somebody's losing their sense of smell in an idiopathic fashion, they can't blame it on a cold or sinus infection or something like that. Is it pretty reliable that they have something going on in their brain, or do you then have to do some other testing to determine that?
Well, it's always difficult because there are multiple reasons why one can lose sense of smell. Viruses can come along that have essentially no other manifestations. So sometimes we'll see a situation where a person loses a sense of smell, and a week later they come down with pneumonia. So the smell is the first indicator of that virus or bacterium coming in. So I think one has to be careful. Having said that, and like I mentioned also, it's quite common as we get older to be mentally healthy and yet have some loss of smell function. But the statistics are as follows. If over 90% of people that have early-stage Parkinson's disease also have demonstrable smell loss. The same is true with Alzheimer's disease or even mild cognitive impairment. Many of those people, if you measure it, have a dysfunction. That doesn't mean, though, that in every case, if someone has smell loss, that they're going to get Alzheimer's, they're going to get Parkinson's disease. But certainly that needs to be on the radar. Also, I think knowing that information can lead to, as you were saying, to behaviors that can help prevent or mitigate the loss. Good example is exercise. Believe it or not, people who exercise regularly as they get old, when they're older, are less likely to have Alzheimer's disease, but they're also less likely to have smell loss. So we know that there are things like exercise, proper eating, can help to prevent or slow down anyway the degree to which there is smell loss and some of these other disorders as well. The correlation between the smell loss and, say, Alzheimer's disease, it's not clear which is which, because you might be able to improve smell function independent of anything that is incipient in terms of the Alzheimer's disease process occurring. So I hope I answered your question on that.
No, you did. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What do you want clinicians and lay people to take away from this recent research?
Well, I think it's important. Neurologists do not test the sense of smell typically. And yet, or if they do, it's so cursory, they can't really determine whether there's some degree of smell loss. And we've been trying to encourage smell testing. I've been singing this song and doing this dance for the last 30 or 40 years. We've developed tests that are out there that are able to quantify accurately on smell. And that's important for a variety of reasons. One is that people aren't very good at assessing whether their smell function has changed that much over time. So many people we see at the Smell and Taste Center here at Penn will come in and say, I've got a terrible problem, I can't smell. And yet when we test them, they may be normal. And, of course, that's a relief for them because they've been going around thinking they have a major problem when, in fact, they don't have a major problem, at least relative to their age or gender. So testing is really important. So clinicians should do that or refer people to places like ours that do that kind of testing, particularly when patients show up and have concerns about it. I think the second thing is to be aware that despite the historical denigration of the sense of smell, that it proves to be very important for a variety of medical reasons, and we've touched on the Alzheimer's and the Parkinson's, but there are other reasons as well. So certainly clinicians need to be aware that the smell system plays an important role in health and disease. I think, unfortunately, that in medical education, medical textbooks, you often see very little, if anything, about the sense of smell. I think that's changing, and certainly I've been involved in many textbooks now where the chapters on smell and taste are there. But in terms of general medical education, I still think it's not covered properly because it's a major sensory system, has major impact when dysfunctional for people, and it needs to be looked at, measured, dealt with, and the clinicians need to be knowledgeable about these issues.
Well, it's in fact, I remember reading a study probably 15 years ago that implicated people who, there are people out there who have a certain smell kind of embedded in their brain, and the sense of smelling burning rubber all the time is indicative of a very serious neurological disorder. It's interesting because we don't think about, we think of the nose as being, you know, one direction, so that everything you smell goes to the brain. We don't realize that when things go wrong in the brain, it changes your sense of smell. It actually make you smell something that doesn't exist. It stimulates that imprint of that smell, for instance. And so it's really interesting. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about? The smell of burning rubber is actually indicative of
something? Sure. Well, there are different levels of that. As the olfactory epithelium, or the nerve cells at the top of the nose, start to change, then certain, channels of information get disturbed more than others, and that can produce distortions in what we call dysosmias or parosmias, or if there's a fecal-like character, we call it a cacosmia.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be peripheral in that sense, that they're, depending on which types of classes of cells are damaged, then you can get distortions where when you go to smell a rose, it really smells more like fecal matter. So that's what we call a dysosmia. Now, when that appears out of nowhere and somebody goes around with a bad smell or a strange smell, we call that a phantosmia.
Mm.
In other words, it's a smell hallucination in effect.
Right.
Now, that can be central. We know, for example, with epilepsy, that and many people experience a strange smell, often a rubber-like smell or a strange chemical-like smell, prior to the onset of a seizure. On the other hand, people can go around with those sensations without having any kind of motor seizure or other kinds of neural activity of that sort. So we know it can be a centrally mediated phenomenon that never reaches the threshold to lead to a seizure, to an epileptic fit. Now, there are some guidelines here for clinicians. One is that if those kinds of smells appear out of nowhere and they increase in frequency, then that potentially can lead later to seizure activity and other brain anomalies, and one has to be aware of that. On the other hand, one has to be careful in interpreting those kinds of things, because some people just after a cold will have very strange smells, and as the epithelium regenerates, then that tends to dissipate. But certainly, one should be aware that strange smells of that sort can, in fact, be signaling altered neural activity that could be associated with disorders like epilepsy.
Yeah. I want to ask you a question that we didn't plan on asking, but I have to, because just recently I became dependent on a nasal spray, and I had to wean myself off of it. It was very, very difficult. And one of the things that convinced me to wean myself off of it was that there is research out there that shows that the active ingredient changes the microbiome of the nose, but also the fact that we know that intranasal delivery delivers active drugs directly to the brain, bypasses the blood, has the capacity to bypass the blood-brain barrier. And so I started to think about this stuff that I was using that obviously has some sort of vascular effect by causing the swelling in my nose to dissipate. And it actually, you get a rebound. Once you start using it for a couple of days, you have to keep using it because when you stop using it, your nose just closes up tight. And so I started to wonder what the possibility is of the way that drug is acting on my nasal passages, making it into my brain and acting on my brain that way.
Well, certainly a lot of drugs, in fact, some are commercially available that are enter into the bloodstream through the nose because it is highly vascularized. Certain medications, in fact, the FDA now requires that any medication that's designed to go into the nose, that you have to prove that it doesn't damage the sense of smell. So a number of pharmaceutical companies have trials going on in which they do smell testing to be certain that the medications that they're developing don't damage the sense of smell. But indirectly, many molecules can get into the bloodstream through the nose, and also the olfactory pathways, the olfactory nerve cells, as well as the areas around them, are a major route of nanoparticles and viruses and other sorts of things in the brain, as well as certain medications. So I think that is a major route that bypasses the blood-brain barrier for a number of agents. And there's a lot of interesting issues there. Some people think, and in fact, I wrote a paper a number of years ago on the so-called olfactory vector hypothesis that suggests that maybe some neurodegenerative diseases might be catalyzed, induced, or caused by agents that enter into the olfactory system through that route. So it's an interesting issue. The nose is a complicated structure. There are many enzymes up there and special glands in the olfactory area that sort of work to detoxify materials that enter into that area so they can't enter into the brain.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Listen, this has been a fascinating discussion, and I appreciate your research because I'm all about early warning.
Sure.
Everybody gets something or has the potential to get something, and I think that the sooner we know that we have the potential to develop some sort of a disease, the better off we are because we can do certain things that have been shown to perhaps stop the progression of that disease. So I applaud your work, and thank you so much for being on the show today, Dr.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Coach Rob Regish. We just had a kill. I can't do a Facebook Live interview with someone on the phone and then switch to camera because we can never hear the guy on the phone. So, and quite frankly and auspiciously, Coach Rob's camera isn't working. So we're going to go to a break and we're going to come back and do this the old-fashioned way on audio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains.
Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Discover the faster way of getting real results with bodybuildingsupplements.com. Bodybuildingsupplements.com has powerful, proven solutions like patent technology, Cre-Alkaline Supreme, Mass Pro Synthogen, and Adaptogen N.
RVD here. I love Adaptogen N. Give it a try. You'll see.
Buy Adaptogen N at bodybuildingsupplements.com. See remarkable results in 21 days or your money back. Bodybuildingsupplements.com. Since 1993, the trusted source for real results.
Use promo code SUPERHUMAN and get an extra 15% off your Adaptogen N today at bodybuildingsupplements.com.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
There is no other olive oil like Papa Vint's Extra Virgin Olive. Not just because of the care and quality that goes into producing it, but also because the unique Nocciolata di Belice olive that grows in Sicily is like no other olive in the world. Its spicy yet buttery flavor improves any food it comes in contact with. Higher in antioxidants, Papa Vint's is raw, unfiltered, and cloudy, and comes from a single orchard owned and operated by the same family for over 100 years. It's the only olive oil Elisa and I will ever use. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Papa Vint's banner ad and use code SHR45 and get two bottles of Papa Vint's for $45 while supplies last.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained fasted and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tricepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tricepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Calling all Blueprint Army. Fall in line. It's time for the Blueprint Power Hour with Coach Rob Regish on the Superhuman Radio Network.
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. That furry little varmint, I think it was a chipmunk, that was running around my place last week, he's gone.
I remember that. That's right. I forgot about it.
Yeah. I don't know. Too bad for him. I've got some peptides in here I could use on him.
You're going to make him big and strong, huh?
Yeah, you got it.
Anyway, what's going on with you before we get started with the show? Anything we need to announce?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind folks that the Tranquilogen, the latest formula, the big upgrade that we've got with a real generous dose of full-spectrum ashwagandha, curcumin, and rhodiola, plus the astaxanthin, you can get a whopping 22% off that product right now by going to either bodybuildingsupplements.com or tranquilogen.com and using the discount code TQ22. I use it I use it Monday through Friday, three caps in the morning when cortisol is your highest, and I take weekends off, and the bottle lasts a full month or more that way. So, you know what? When you go in to get blood work done, this provides a lot of peace of mind. You know, there's nothing more you can do than to use this as a preventative.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yep.
So Pete Schindler has a question. He says, where do you stand on steroid use for older men? I hear you talking plenty about it not being appropriate for young guys. But how about those of us who aren't in our teens anymore?
Well, you know, I think the first thing you need to do is establish a biological age with someone, right, that defines older men. Let's call it 40 and up. Now, that isn't the whole story, though, because there are some people who don't start training until later in life. I'm bumping into more and more of these people that I train myself. So you also have to establish a training age. In other words, how many years they've been training. Let's call it a decade. You know, given that, the same mantra applies, in my opinion. You need to max out your God-given genetic potential prior to using steroids. But even that's too fuzzy, though, in my opinion. So let's put a finer point on it. I personally like to see someone train for a minimum of a decade before hitting the gas. Why? Because it takes about that long to get to a 300 bench, 400 squat, 500 deadlift, and gain enough body wisdom as to how you respond to different training and dietary stimuli. You know, you need to know if your body thrives on high volume, low volume, high carb, or high fat diets. You should also have taken the time to bulk up and diet down and have a solid handle on how to manipulate your body weight. So at a minimum, in my opinion, you need to be 35, ideally 40 years of age or older, but also have a decade behind you training and dieting, which means you started around 30 at the latest. Now we can talk about possibly manipulating your hormone levels, right, to up your game. If you don't agree with that, I'm open to your argument. But you're up against some fundamental biological laws that can't be circumvented. You have plenty of testosterone and growth hormone floating around in your teens and 20s. Ditto for insulin sensitivity and other factors, like the ability to assimilate large quantities of food. You know, even in your 30s, there exists the possibility to make great gains. But show me a guy playing his trump card in his late 20s, and I'll show you someone who's probably out of the game by the time 40 rolls around. So now, I suppose you could start in your 30s using steroids, but the reality is that many athletes that have been training for 10 to 15 years prior to that are peaking. They're peaking in their mid-30s, I would say, at least insofar as things like muscle maturity are concerned. Now, sure, you don't bounce back, you know, like you did in your teens and 20s, but the wheels only start coming off in your 40s. And you know, what I'm talking about there is, you know, pulled muscles, other soft connective tissue injuries, et cetera, et cetera. Finally, we have to take into consideration purity and legal ramifications. Now, juice isn't as big an issue as it was 10 years ago. But that doesn't mean people's lives aren't still being ruined by stupid laws like the Designer Anabolic Steroid Control Act of 2014. Even if you get the good stuff, there exists the possibility, however small, that you'll get busted and legal representation ain't cheap. Add to that asset forfeiture, which is a nice term for the government freezing and then stealing all your bank accounts, your cars, your home, whatever you have of value. And it's a great way for local, state, and government agencies to increase their revenue and for somebody to make a name for themselves. Here's the bottom line. Make sure you have come as close as possible to training for close to a decade and, you know, be reasonably close to a 300 bench, 400 squat, and 500 deadlift figure, right, that I've given here. Get a blood test for total and free testosterone and go from there. You know, if you're going to the black market, you can't be cautious enough, in my opinion. I'm not saying it isn't the right decision for some people, but you need to take, right, all of the positives and negatives into consideration and make an educated decision from there.
Okay. And I hate the word steroids because testosterone falls into the steroid category, but it's a naturally occurring hormone. And unfortunately, baseball and other sports have demonized it unfairly. Todd Goddick says, I really enjoyed your answer last week about some of the pro hormones of yesteryear and how you get into the business. You have a masterpiece in Synthogen and Progenidrex. I use both and can really tell the difference. My question is, what kind of background do you have in product formulation? Did anyone help you formulate them? I'm anxiously awaiting your pre-workout and would like to know when it will be available. Thanks.
Yeah, here's the short answer to your first question. I have no formal background in chemistry, biology, nor any formal education in product formulation. Now for the usual too long answer. First and foremost, I am a consumer just like you. So starting at age 15 and continuing through the present day, I've bought and used various supplements. Of course, I eventually got it through my thick skull that most of these products are BS, but I also came across a few that really worked. I was still frustrated, though, with what was available, and I had this idea in the back of my mind that I could do better. So I mentioned that one day to John Drake over at bodybuildingsupplements.com, and he said, Rob, go ahead, give me your best formula for a product. And I wasn't sure what he meant, but that got the gears started. So here's what went down next. I was working on the Blueprint Meteoric, which is a dedicated recomp version of my training system, the Blueprint. The problem was the speed at which the unorthodox unfolds is dizzying. It really is, especially from a training perspective. And guys were having great difficulty recovering from the workouts. So knowing that muscle growth is always a three-step process, stimulate, recover, and grow, I zeroed in on recovery, right? The Russians are famous for this statement. Recovery is everything. And they're right. So I established that as my baseline or my objective. So around this time, a very generous customer of mine mailed me the product manuals and the training protocols of Athletica's line of sports nutrition products. Just for reference sake, Athletica was a cutting-edge company circa 1990 with things like low molecular weight proteins, AminoFit, for those of you that remember it, various adaptogens. He had an ECT product called Redaball, and his biggest step up as his hydrolyzed protein was, I found free-form amino acids far superior. The addition of things like beta-alanine, orotic acid, taurine, magnesium, and orally active ATP was based on my experience with those compounds solo. So I knew they were good by themselves, but I had a hunch they'd be a lot better in combination. And I would be remiss without saying that SHR played a big role. You had a show devoted to trimethylglycine, or TMG,
right,
sometimes called betaine. And although I had used it way back in the late 90s, an outfit up in Maine carried it. They still may. It wasn't until that show with, was it Dr. Whitaker? Do you remember, Carl?
I don't remember his name. I really don't.
Yeah, but it wasn't until that show that I understood the impact TMG could make in so much as a goal for my product. So fortunately for me, Athlete Trials in Athens, Georgia, which is a big college town, lots of young athletes, well, and that's where Muscle and Sports Science is, or bodybuildingsupplements.com. Those trials went incredibly well. And inside of 3 weeks, I got a call from John telling me, he's like, listen, this stuff is awesome. We're going to go to production with it. Synthogen was incredibly well received, not just here, but in Europe. And around that time, Carl, you gave me my big break on SHR. So in one sense, I and I alone formulated it. Right, no, meaning nobody else worked on the formula. That much is true. But it would have never happened if it wasn't for John Drake, Carl Lenore, and many other generous people that believed in me, right, to make the product a reality. I think it's fair to say we are all a lot better off for it. That goes for me, everyone that has helped me, and customers who buy and use it month in and month out. As far as my new pre-workout, the ETA on that should be here by the end of the year, or at the latest, early 2018. Believe me, we are pushing as hard and fast as we can. It has been a long road with many different formula tweaks and lots of samples being sent to people for feedback. And here again, some very generous people are backing me. And frankly, it humbles me to know that they believe in me so much, you know, that they want to be a big part of this. When it's ready, you can be sure I'll announce it here. Newsletter subscribers will get first dibs, but SHR is next in line. So thanks for your question, Todd. Carl, I think you used an early prototype version.
I loved it. I loved it. I actually got it from Dr. Jeff when I was coming home from Billings after going there to do a live remote. And yep. I took it that morning when I had to fly out. You know, I had to be at the airport. I think my flight was 6 a.m., so I had to be at the airport at 5 a.m. And I texted you at that time. I said, wow, this stuff really works great.
Thanks. And you know, it's worth pointing out, yes, we're having Dr. Jeff Galini formulate this product. And as anybody who knows anything about sports nutrition, he is top shelf, top of the line. And you know what? Just a down-to-earth, really great guy, too.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have a question from Paul Cavallo. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Blueprint Power Hour.
In today's world, what would you give to have that ultimate edge, to always function at the highest possible level? That's exactly what the Da Vinci from UltraHuman gives you. Just one tablet a day increases focus, lowers anxiety, enhances social fluency, and improves your mood and drive. It's 8 hours strong with no crash. A sharp mind is priceless. And the Da Vinci even comes with a money-back guarantee. Find out more at theultrahuman.net. Make your brain 25 again with the Da Vinci from theultrahuman.net. Use discount code SHR10 for 10% off and free shipping.
Discover the faster way of getting real results with BodybuildingSupplements.com. BodybuildingSupplements.com has powerful, proven solutions like patent technology, Crealkaline Supreme, Mass Pro Synthogen, and Adaptogen N.
RVD here. I love Adaptogen N. Give it a try. You'll see.
My Adaptogen N at BodybuildingSupplements.com. See remarkable results in 21 days or your money back. BodybuildingSupplements.com. Since 1993, the trusted source for real results.
Use promo code SUPERHUMAN and get an extra 15% off your Adaptogen N today at BodybuildingSupplements.com.
Alaskans agree that sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing. So our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains.
Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. The next question comes from Paul Cavallo. He said, I heard where you hurt your shoulder recently. How did you do it, and what's the prognosis?
Well, it's true that I hurt it. Not bad, but a shoulder injury nonetheless. That has put me out of action until just recently. So I was doing dumbbell side laterals with a tad too much weight, right? I felt something on my last rep and subsequently had great difficulty raising it past my head. That's the bad news. The good news is I got it looked at by a soft tissue guy who deemed it a muscular injury, not a tendon, ligament, or God forbid, rotator cuff issue. It was how he determined it, though, that I found interesting. So he asked me to raise my arm as high as I could, right, out to the side, then asked me if it caused any pain. I responded, you know, affirmatively, yes, it did. And he then did something that was entirely unexpected. He said, relax, and then he proceeded to take my arm, raise it with his hands, then asked if that hurt. Now, curiously enough, it didn't hurt at all. He said that means it's a muscle, not an underlying structural issue. So, you know, dumbbell side laterals are about the only isolation movement I perform, as frankly, they do fill out my delts nicely, after presses always, of course. But I attempted to add too much weight too fast, which was the problem. You know, despite being able to control the negative for a five-second count, the last rep of my last set did me in. And you know what? That's okay. Because it's my body telling me it's time for a break anyway. So about a week into it, it's still a little bit tender, so I'm not rushing anything. But it's telling that this shoulder injury didn't occur during the much heavier work I do on the seated shoulder press, gorilla push-ups, and various other pressing movements. The simple fact of the matter is that moving weights in an arc, you know, out to the side, as you see in a dumbbell side lateral, puts the muscle and joint in a position that's unfavorable. You simply can't lift that much weight in these movements. So as such, I would recommend you either leave them out entirely or use a more appropriate, definitely lighter weight. I usually work with 20 to 25 dumbbells in that exercise, but, you know, I had built it up to 40 pounds when this injury occurred. Now, sure, I could control the weight just fine, but, you know, if it didn't happen at 40 pounds, you can bet it probably would have at 45, 50 or more had I pursued it. So you can file this in the live and learn category. Shoulder injuries are the most prevalent in gyms across the world. So, you know, what you gain in flexibility and range of motion with the shoulder joint is, you know, that's that's tempered a little bit, meaning you give up a lot in injury potential. They're a lot more easy to injure. So I would say proceed cautiously and understand to respect your shoulder's limitations. You know, work within those facets of an exercise and form that are more conducive to allowing you to lift heavier weights. Dumbbell side laterals, not so much. Pressing movements, handstand push-ups, you bet. So I appreciate the question, though. I hope it helps somebody not get a shoulder injury.
Yeah, because they're the worst, and everybody ends up getting them eventually. Matt Rinaldi says, I took the plunge on your Synthogen, Progenidrex, and Tranquilogen. They really are excellent products. Can you tell me more about your pre-workout?
Yeah, for obvious reasons, I can't go into ingredients, but I can speak in general terms about what the design goal is and a bit more about what physiological states that it modulates and a revised the ETA. First, the design goal. You know, a superior pre-workout should allow you to magnify the growth signal, right, by generating greater overload. We've known for over 100 years now that overload is what's necessary to trigger muscle growth. You know, that can be accomplished in several different ways. You know, either by upping your one rep max or, let's call it, total tonnage. You know, those should be at the top of your list. Both will get the job done, and both are upped in the 4 hours, after ingesting my new pre-workout. This really isn't that difficult, right? I mean, in terms of momentarily boosting your maximum muscle strength. Good old ephedrine can do that. It can increase your momentary ability to contract muscle by 5 to 15%, which is pretty darn considerable considering compound lifts. What is considerably more difficult is to do that without rattling your central nervous system and especially keeping cortisol at bay. So over-caffeinated products containing Yohimbe, and other central nervous system stimulants really jack up cortisol. High cortisol levels really, you know, it's not like you can feel them for most people. So most people carry on with their current pre-workout for months or years. If these same people took stock of their actual muscle growth during that time, they would rethink that strategy because 9 out of 10 pre-workouts leave people no bigger or stronger in the long run. In fact, many are quite the opposite. People will be smaller and weaker than when they started. So it's an easy trick to light up your central nervous system. It just depends on to what degree. Now, take it up to the most extreme example, methamphetamines, right? After prolonged use, how do these people look and perform, right? Exactly. Their muscle tissue has been almost entirely chewed up by the chronic activation of cortisol. Your average pre-workout today isn't much different. It's just a little more subtle in its effect. The muscle loss, though, from it is very, very real. And for the average hard gainer, right, every pound of muscle counts. And this is the last kind of product that those people should be using. My pre-workout will act primarily in the mind. Let's call it 75% of the effects on the mind or the brain and 25% affecting the central nervous system. In practice, that means you'll be able to generate much more intense focus versus the average pre-workout because, again, those products, you know, it gets worse with use as your body becomes accustomed to the central nervous system stimulating effect. That means you won't get the great benefit of a strong stimulant anymore, only the muscle wasting effects. Look, if pre-workouts worked like they profess, you would gain a good 12 to 15 pounds of muscle in a year, depending upon your age, due to the improved overload. That is not happening because they all fail, with the time and duration curve. Are you carrying 12 to 15 pounds more muscle than when you started your pre-workout? If not, it's time for another approach. So, as I said before, ETA late 2017, early 2018. The final formula has been signed off on, but getting things like trademarks and patents, etc., those all need to be nailed down before going to production. I have put over 3 years' worth of work into this one at this point, and I'm not about to get ripped off by some copycat formula. When it is ready, once again, my newsletter subscribers get first dibs, and then SHR listeners, one thing is for sure. You will not only be able to lift heavier, you'll be able to take it at, let's call it 5 p.m. in the afternoon, get a great workout, and still get to sleep at 9. You can't say that about most of the pre-workouts on the market today. So yeah. I appreciate your question.
Did we miss a question?
No. Yeah, there was a hold on.
I feel like we missed one. Matt Rinaldi, Mike Bonavita? Yeah, no. What are you doing for Carl? Yeah, we missed one from Mike Bonavita. Let's go ahead and let's want to do that one. What are you doing for cardio these days? I know it's become more of an issue for you with jiu-jitsu, but what is optimal, at least for us weightlifters?
Yeah, you know, first, I would make the distinction between cardio and conditioning. Endurance athletes do cardio. Strength athletes should be working on conditioning. And yes, there is a difference. So the usual suspects, you know, abound in every gym. The treadmill, the life cycle, the stair stepper, all of those can be worked hard, and yeah, you get some cardiovascular benefit, but they aren't what I would call optimal for strength athletes. The reason? There's no real resistance involved. Conditioning work, by contrast, can be thought of as, let's call it, anabolic cardio, wherein large muscle groups can be used to tax not just those, not just the muscle groups, but you better believe the heart and lungs as well. You know, things like kettlebell swings, body weight movements like burpees, tire flips, and farmer's walks are fantastic conditioning tools. My favorite, though, it has to be the sled, or if you've got one, if you're fortunate enough, the prowler. I use the term favorite loosely, though, as I dread the thing, but it more than delivers on the conditioning front. The variations are almost limitless, but I like alternating two different types of prowler workouts. One I'll call it light, and the other one heavy. On the light days, you're just loading a sled with, call it, 50% of your body weight, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. But the idea being sprint with it, back to back to back, no rest. You want to push it anywhere between 100 and 150 feet. It is an absolutely nasty experience. Most athletes will be able to perform anywhere between 6 and 10 trips before the power in your legs gives out and you can no longer sprint with it. Now, you'll know you've reached that point, right, when, like I said, you can't sprint. Instead, you'll just be able to push it. Now, after 6 to 10 trips like that, your lungs will be on fire. Your heart rate will be through the roof, and the temptation will be to stop. But you soldier on, pushing the sled, for another 5, 10, or 15 minutes, whatever, where the cardiovascular exhaustion subsides just a little bit. Your breathing will be very heavy throughout that workout, meaning this isn't the kind of cardio where you'll be able to carry on a conversation. But that's the point. You know, the longer that you carry on in an oxygen debt, the better condition that you will be. Now, as far as heavy days, simply load the sled with your body weight and push it, and then I like to pull it backwards, for a total of 20 trips. Now, you're going to need to build up to this gradually, but by the time you can push and pull your body weight for 15 minutes or more, you'll be in excellent condition. At 1.5 times your body weight, you will be in incredible shape. A few athletes, you know, can match you. So for a 200-pound person, then, you're going to be pushing and pulling 300 pounds, the 1.5 figure. As you can probably imagine, this builds an insane amount of power in the hips, glutes, and legs while avoiding any vertical compression of the spine. It'll also give you a first-rate heart and lungs while stripping body fat, especially if you're in a caloric deficit. The real benefit of the sled is this. There's no lowering or eccentric component to it. Not like you're lowering weights. So it minimizes muscle damage and maximizes your conditioning. It'll actually, as long as it's not overdone, it'll improve your recovery. So the other thing that you need to know is you can't do this every day. which is why I advocate performing one or two heavy sessions rotated with one to two sprint sessions. Neither is particularly fun, but you'll be doing what's necessary to get in incredible condition. As an added bonus, it only takes 10 to 15 minutes to perform if you do it after your weight training. If you're doing it solo, then yeah, I'd say 20 minutes is more appropriate. Like a lot of other things along these lines, conditioning work, mental toughness is something that you need to cultivate as you go deeper and deeper and heavier into these sled pulls and pushes. It is very true, that your mind will quit before your body does. I read a great article over this past week about a guy who trained with a Navy SEAL. Navy SEAL said, how many pull-ups can you do? He said, I don't know, let's find out. He did 8. And then he said, okay, 10-second rest, do as many as you can now. The guy did 2 more. And he said, okay, good start. We're not leaving here till you do 100.
Huh.
And his position was, and it's probably pretty darn accurate, when your mind, like, tells you you're through, you've probably tapped about 40% of what you can actually do, meaning there's 60% in the tank. So, you know, that's, I found that quite interesting. Lombardi's quote about fatigue makes cowards of us all is very, very applicable here. But, you know, you work it hard and, you know, consistently, you're going to be in incredible condition to do the weights justice.
Yeah. You know, I do that trick to myself when I do cardio. I get on the elliptical machine. I say, oh, I'm going to do 20 minutes. And when I get to 20, I go, I'm going to do 25. And then when I get to 25, I go, you know, I'm going to do 27. And I keep, and I know I'm playing a game with myself, but it really works. It really, really does work.
Yeah. So. No, you're absolutely right. You know, the mind controls everything. You know, it controls the degree to which muscle contracts against resistance, and it controls how far you can really push, which for almost everyone is more than they know.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, we have the blueprint tip of the day. You're listening to Coach Rob Regish. His website is CoachRobRegish.com, Synthogen.com, Progenidrex.com. Oh, my goodness. We'll be right back.
Uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LiveOnLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LiveOnLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
There is no other olive oil like Papa Vint's extra virgin olive. Not just because of the care and quality that goes into producing it, but also because the unique Nocciolata di Belice olive that grows in Sicily is like no other olive in the world. Its spicy yet buttery flavor improves any food it comes in contact with. Higher in antioxidants, Papa Vint's is raw, unfiltered, and cloudy, and comes from a single orchard owned and operated by the same family for over 100 years. It's the only olive oil Elisa and I will ever use. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Papa Vint's banner ad and use code SHR45 and get two bottles of Papa Vint's for $45 while supplies last.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. We actually missed the question. So before we go into the blueprint tip of the day, we have a question from Ricky Price. Okay, Rob?
Yep.
He said, I'd like to know your opinion on All-American EFX and specifically their Crealkaline and Carbolin products. To me, their stuff is a little spendy, and I'm curious to know what alternative brands there are that I can use.
You know, my experience with All-American and their products goes way back. I'm not sure what the year was, but at the time, bodybuildingsupplements.com, John Drake, he was either the first person in the country or one of the first to offer their Crealkaline product. So one day I got a call from him, from John, telling me there was something big coming down the pike related to creatine, and that turned out to be Crealkaline. So I pre-ordered a bottle just out of curiosity, and at first I thought, man, what a scam. Only 750 milligrams of creatine per capsule. You know, then I took it, and within 7 to 10 days, I got a real noticeable bump in strength. Not so much weight on the scale, but big jumps in strength. And quite frankly, I was impressed, very impressed, and still am, that such a small amount of creatine could make such a big difference, you know. So that was that. I had a great experience with that. It wasn't until around 2011, though, that I got around to trying Carbolin. In the process of writing the Blueprint 3.0, I was experimenting with various intra-workout ingredients, mostly high molecular weight modified starches, in the form of, I tested waxy maize, generic waxy maize, Carbolin, pure Carbolin, and a product called Vitargo. And at the time, it was thought Vitargo was far and away the superior product. However, my blood glucometer readings told me otherwise. And specifically, Carbolin did a better job at getting insulin up just enough, not sky high, just enough to push all of the goodies into your muscle cell, like creatine, glutamine, et cetera, et cetera. Now, it's worth pointing out that at the time, that wasn't a popular opinion to be espousing. But I stood by my results, and I recommended Carbolin over all the others, including Vitargo, and I still do. So fast forward to 2016, and they're a big sponsor, if not the biggest, of SHR, right? Which really told me something. So when it came time to formulate my new pre-workout, I reached out to Dr. Jeff Galini. wanting his lab to produce it. And I have to tell you, he's one of the nicest, most generous people that you will ever meet. You know, if I'm not mistaken, his lab does work for the government or otherwise handles some big contracts.
Yeah.
Accordingly, his lab is squeaky clean, right?
Yeah.
Clean as they come. And you know how big Crealkaline is. My God, he's got a monster in that. So just imagine my surprise when he offers to spend time and a lot of it with me working on this project, you know, as much as necessary. And here he is, this guy. He's incredibly well-known, respected, and busy, and he makes time for me.
Yeah.
You know,
I actually think he loves working with new guys because he remembers when he was just a guy in a desk in a room.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's what he said. And, you know, think about that. That really says a lot, in my opinion. Now, as far as pricing goes, I don't see where Alpha EFX is out of line at all. He carries bulk Crealkaline powder, if you're really looking to stretch things. And given how little you need, it's a bargain, in my opinion. Now, sure, you can buy straight creatine monohydrate cheaper. But odds are, like 99% odds, the really cheap stuff comes out of China. And good luck with the impurities and the issues that they have with that come along with it. Ditto for Carbolin. You can get a 2.2-pound jug of Carbolin for $23.89 or $1.25 per serving. Now, you spring for the bigger 4.4-pound can, and the per-serving cost drops to just $1.04. You know what? For what it is, that is incredibly inexpensive. And believe me when I tell you, don't take my word for it. Use a glucometer yourself. It is far superior to dextrose, generic waxy maize, and the supposed best-in-class Vitargo. So I appreciate your question. Top-shelf products, but even more importantly, the man behind it, they don't make them like Jeff.
No, they don't. He's a decent human being. That's really important, in and out of the business.
Yep.
Okay, so what is the blueprint tip of the day, Coach Rob?
Blueprint tip of the day is called giving back. Nice segue from Dr. Gallini. So over the years, I have observed many trainees that are involved in physical culture. They're what I call takers. They take everything from this sport that they can. You know, the greater strength, size, self-confidence, exceptional health, etc. Now, sure, they're dedicated to themselves, pretty much, and everything revolves around them. It's all about their workout, their strength levels, their chiseled midsections. In other words, it can be a very selfish activity wherein you're constantly comparing yourself to others. So you want to be bigger, stronger, or more cut than they are. In short, you want an edge over your competition, which is understandable. But I'm going to give you a different approach. One that I think that you will find is far, far more rewarding. It's called giving back. And more of you are in a position to do this than you likely know. You see, somewhere out there, quite possibly in your gym, there's a 15 or 16-year-old kid that's just starting out. And for them, the gym can be an intimidating place. The first gym I joined, I didn't lift for like a whole month. I just sat there and watched. I sat at the desk and watched these huge muscle men hoist weights that I could only dream of. And it was pretty clear to me they knew something that I didn't, something that I desperately wanted to know. So approaching them was a very scary proposition. They seemed so intense, so focused. I was afraid to ask for help or, ask for questions. So I watched and eventually copied what the biggest guys in the gym were doing. It wasn't enough, though. I didn't understand and needed to understand why they were doing what they were doing. I didn't know what to eat, how much or how little. And I didn't know a lot. Just that's probably, you know, the shortest, easiest way of expressing that. Here was the extent of my knowledge back then. Lifting heavy weights built big muscles. Consuming a lot of protein was good. And nobody got huge doing cardio. That was it. And it likely would have stayed that way had it not been for one Eddie Azero. Eddie was all of 5'8", 175, but he was deadlifting 500 pounds the day that he approached me in the gym. I was absolutely blown away by his strength. I couldn't figure out how such an unassuming guy could be so strong. So again, I watched, I took notes, and I copied. And seeing that, Eddie extended his hand one day and introduced himself to me. He explained he was a powerlifter. He competed for many years and, in fact, was training for a competition. To my great surprise, during a period where the guy has to be focused, during that time, he took me under his wing, and he taught me how to train. He brought me to the grocery store and taught me how to eat. He stayed however long was necessary to answer all of my questions, and he asked for nothing in return, just my hard work. If it wasn't for Eddie, there would never have been a Coach Rob. I would have never written my book nor found my way onto SHR. So think about how just one person changed my life for the better. Now think about how you could change someone else's life for the better, if only you would look for that opportunity. Like I said before, you may not believe this, but there's someone out there that could greatly benefit from your knowledge. Now, sure, you know, kids today, they can learn from the internet, but nothing replaces a real-life human being helping you along the way. That kid desperately wants to build the muscle that you have. I know because that was me. He just needs the knowledge. So I'm going to challenge you to do this today. I want you to look for that kid in your gym, the one who looks curiously at you and what you're doing. Introduce yourself and ask him a few questions. You know, what's your name? How long have you been training? What have you been doing? How's your diet? Things like that. Not everyone is going to take your advice, but that one kid who does, you can make such a difference in his life. And I will guarantee you this, a more rewarding experience you will never have. To watch a skinny or overweight, insecure kid grow into a confident, strong adult, that's about as good as it gets, in my opinion. So in short, if bodybuilding has given you more muscle, if it's giving you less fat, more confidence, and better health, you have a responsibility to pass on everything that you have learned. By making someone else's world a better place, then, you de facto have made the world in which we live a better place, too. Many people, too many people, don't understand that the knowledge that they have gained over the years, hard-won knowledge, you know, like me, made all the mistakes, had to learn the hard way. That's a life-changing information for that kid. And it's so hard for some of them to approach one of us that's been doing this for a long time. Take the initiative, extend your hand. You won't believe where it'll take you in some cases. And it all comes back. Good karma comes back, folks.
I hope that's true.
It really is.
I just hope it doesn't wait to come back till after I'm dead.
No, we don't want that.
Hey, karma just showed up. Oh, he died last week. Oh, man.
He got here a little late.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. It really is. I try to do it as much as possible. There are two kids right now that I'm helping, have been helping for almost a year, and it's changed their lives. And you know, they always look me dead in the eye as they're leaving. They'll shake my hand. Both of them say, thank you for coming today. I really appreciate your help. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, it's been a great discussion. Lots of good questions answered. And as always, Rob does the heavy lifting for you. If you have questions for Coach Rob, don't be shy. Email them to onair@superhumanradio.com. I forward them on to Rob. He actually will email you back and also answer your question on the air. So it's a very easy process. Contribute to the show. Be part of the community. Ask a question. You know, some of you may think your question is stupid or redundant or, oh, someone must have asked this before, but you don't know. And the truth of the matter is, who's listening right now will benefit from you asking a question.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Rob, thanks so much for being my brother.
You bet, man.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. And we're going to take it, we're going to call this an end for today's show. And also thanks to Dr. Richard Doty for his discussion on losing your sense of smell. If you notice you're losing your sense of smell, it could mean something else. Look, I lost my sense of smell from this upper respiratory thing, but it's coming back. But if you just notice, like for no reason at all, you can't smell things anymore, something's going on. You need to look into it. So check that out. We'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening.